This ends the Pardoner's Tale. The shipman is a ship's captain, the most skilled from here to Spain, more at home on the deck of a ship than on the back of a horse. He is not above a little larceny or piracy, and in a sea fight he does not take prisoners. The Shipman's Tale is another fabliau, a French term we have already used to characterize the Miller's Tale, which it resembles and differs from at the same time. The Miller's Tale is a romp, where two randy young fellows go after a readily persuaded young wench who is married to an old man. They make a thorough fool of him, and the whole plot is an elaborate farce. The Shipman's Tale is not at all farcical. Everything is done with smoothness and sophistication. The characters are more mature people, apparently all of about the same age. The cuckolded husband of this tale is not a superstitious provincial carpenter, but a successful, well-traveled merchant, handling with skill the difficult business of loans, foreign exchange, and so forth. He is open-handedly generous, but also shrewd and competent both in business and in bed. And yet he is made a fool of, but oh, so skillfully that he is not a public joke. Indeed, nobody knows of the infidelity but the two people involved. The sexual transaction between the wife and the cleric is about as well prepared as the money transactions of the merchant himself. In fact, it is a money transaction, and the ring of coin in the sexual arrangement is very audible in this story. The language of the tale is ordered so that we notice this, especially at the end, where pay, debt, debtor, tallying, tailing, are all played upon in their marital as well as their commercial senses. That is, there is wordplay between the normal meaning of debt as a money obligation and another meaning, debt as the obligation that each married partner has to satisfy the other's sexual need. There is another use of wordplay that we are expected to notice and enjoy. The words cousin or cousinage are used many times in this tale. A cousin is a relative, but to cousin also meant to deceive, to make a fool of. The monk blandly betrays the merchant, cousins him by pretending to be his cousin. Promises, vows, oaths are another object of Chaucer's satire here, as elsewhere. In the very process of breaking their marital and monastic vows, the wife and monk swear on the prayer book that they will not betray each other. And while neither this sacrilege nor the parallel between this garden and the Garden of Eden is heavily leaned on, one should notice that the seduction to sin in this garden is a suavely cool variation on the temptation to the original sin. Some of the phrasing at the beginning of the tale suggests that it was originally intended for a woman, perhaps the wife of Bath. Possibly Chaucer intended it for a woman, changed his mind, but did not get to revise it thoroughly. Here, then, is the introduction to the Shipman's Tale, where Harry Bailey, the host, is reacting to a tale just finished by an earlier teller, and invites a tale from the parish priest, who rebukes him for his swearing, and is in turn practically accused of being a lollard, a heretical preacher. At this point, the shipman volunteers himself as the next teller of a tale. The Shipman's Prologue and Tale, narrated by Ron Keith.